The following program may contain detailed testimonials of domestic violence, childhood sexual abuse, rape, and/or psychological abuse. If you experience a trigger while listening to this broadcast, please visit the links on our host page for helpful resources. If you or somebody you know has experienced domestic violence or psychological or sexual abuse, the next hour could be the most important one this week. This is Abuse Survival Stories presents I Reclaim My Voice with your hosts, Reese Zigazaga and Denise Watkus. Our program features survivors that share their stories of abuse and the healing journey. Join us as we work toward ending the silence on which abuse thrives. Now, here are your hosts.
While I give credit to the trauma of the Canadian winter for the manifestation of my stutter, while I pretended that I was all right and the scars had healed, while I eyed women like they were men to me, while I still treated her like the protective family she had failed to be, while I have confronted the abuser many times in my mind but never confronted the abused inside of me.
Hello and welcome to Abuse Survival Stories presents I Reclaim My Voice. I'm your host, Reese Zigazaga.
And I'm your co-host, Denise. You can reach us at AbuseSurvivalStories.com. Also, make sure to connect with us on Twitter under the name Survival of Abuse and on our Facebook page, Abuse Survival Stories. You can find the links to all of our past shows on our host page at VoiceAmerica.com, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can also email us at radio@AbuseSurvivalStories.com.
So when the show opened, you heard a clip from a very powerful poem called Forgiveness by a talented poet named Lemoy. At the end of the show, we'll play the full poem for you. Right now, I just want to encourage you all to mark your calendars. We are so excited to announce that on March 19th, we are going to have Grammy Award-winning artist Maya on our show talking about overcoming obstacles in her life. She is an amazing person and very supportive of the Abuse Survival Stories movement. We're looking forward to speaking with her next Thursday. So joining us on our show today, we have another amazing and inspiring woman, childhood sexual abuse survivor and founder of Three Little Birds, Aisha Murray, who will be discussing the amazing work she's doing.
Hello, ladies.
Aisha. Hi, Aisha.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the show. So I just wanted to let the listeners know a little bit about you. Aisha is a full-fledged, no apologies, into the trenches woman survivor advocate, and she's also the founder of a wonderful nonprofit organization called Three Little Birds. And when she has been planning for her twice-a-year pop-up shop event for Three Little Birds, she's collecting gently used and or new clothing and accessories in support of her smaller and more personal project initiatives. So she collects baby diapers, women's accessories, perishable foods, women's casual and business attire, and more. And you can read more about and watch her journey with Three Little Birds at facebook.com/3, and it's spelled out THREELBS. And you may also email her at 3_LBS, and 3 is also spelled out again, at hotmail.com for information on donating. So once again, Aisha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Denise, and thank you for that that promo there. I appreciate that.
So Aisha, can you tell us a bit about what happened to you as a child?
Absolutely. So we're going to go back, 33 now, so back when I was 5 years old, took my first plane trip to the beautiful island of Tobago, Trinidad and Tobago. I was preparing to go to my great-grandfather's funeral. So when we got there, I was traveling with my mother, my sister, who's a baby at the time, and my grandmother, as well as my grandfather. We were staying with my grandmother's brother. When we got there, I instantly connected with my cousin who lived in the house as well. She was older, I'm going to say maybe she was about 16, 17. We connected. She did my hair. She took me to the market. She gave me candy. You know, she was like a big sister. So I remember one incident, one night is what I can remember. And I can only remember a few memories from my childhood. So this is one memory that sticks out to me. We were sharing a bed, laying on our backs. I remember every single detail of the room that we were sitting in, laying in at 5 years old. And she began to touch me in my genital area. Then she took my hand and wanted me to touch her. So I did. And it wasn't just masturbation. She actually penetrated me at 5 years old, with her fingers. And that was my first, sexual experience.
And, you were very young, and from what you remember, how did this situation make you feel at the time?
I remember feeling scared was my initial reaction and thinking, is this right? It felt funny, not to mention painful, but at first it felt funny. It felt, and I felt guilty for feeling this, but it did feel good. When I touched her, definitely terrifying. I just felt like what was happening was somehow wrong, but just too terrified to really react in a way to let her know that it was wrong, although I'm pretty sure she knew it was.
Wow. You know, it's you mentioned that you didn't want it to, I guess, but it felt good. And you know, we had our show last week we had the abuse survival stories about the cloak of shame, and that's one of the things that definitely keep us quiet, is that our bodies, you know, in a way, they act the way they're supposed to.
Exactly.
So they kind of betray your mind. And so I'm really glad that you brought that up.
Yes.
Aisha, so the perpetrator was of the same sex. We don't really hear a lot about that.
Yeah.
But based on the experiences that you have shared with others and that you've heard others share, do you feel as if the effects of abuse perpetrated by someone of the same sex differ from when the abuser is of the opposite sex?
I can only imagine so. Like, for me, I found that it's a very taboo topic, right? And there's very little reliable data out there on the prevalence of sexual abuse by women to other women, so female-to-female abuse. It's almost impossible to come by, even though it is out there. I found that sexual abuse, just by listening to different stories, sexual abuse by women to women or females can be just as devastating as abuse by men. So for me, I can say I struggled with depression, destructive behaviors, anger. I wanted to pretty much shrink myself. I had very low self-esteem. You know, there's no question that there are serious after effects of female perpetrated sexual abuse. I feel that not only does this kind of violation create more profound shame, but it does it does so to the point of most victims staying silent. You know, I've told my story at Abuse Survival Stories and, you know, my own events and maybe a couple of other events, but each time I experienced shame. There's a shame there. There's a different kind of shame. You know, some of my closest friends still don't really know my full story.
Mm-hmm.
I know in speaking with other female survivors abused by women, we often struggle with, you know, sexual orientation. I never experienced that, but I did struggle with maintaining close relationships with female friends. I have many close female friends today, but ran from the idea at first, especially in my early 20s. I had close girlfriends from high school, my sister, who's my best friend, my cousins, but refused for a while to meet new girlfriends and felt more at ease with around males. I saw women as a threat, not like a jealousy threat, but more like a serious threat to my well-being.
Hmm.
Also in my teens and early 20s, I could say I was homophobic, but only towards lesbian couples. It made me feel ill, and I didn't realize until much later that my intolerance was actually my deep anger over my experience. So I guess it is different. It definitely is different.
That's definitely, it's not something I ever thought of, so I'm really glad that you touched on that. So how long did the abuse go on for? I know you said that you only remembered, you have a memory of one incident, but how long did the actual abuse go on for?
You know what? Who really knows? But I know, I remember that one time. And I only remember that one time. And then after that, I don't remember what happened except that we came back here and I told my mom. So I guess that's me just subconsciously shoving everything to the side, just disassociating myself with the event. But I can say that it happened once to my memory.
Wow. And all it takes is one incident to dramatically and profoundly impact someone's life. And, you know, you shared some very personal things just now, Aisha, and I really want to say that we appreciate that. I know it's not always easy to discuss these things, but in doing so, we really let others know that they're not alone. So
absolutely,
much, much appreciated. We've come to a break. When we come back, we'll discuss the aftermath of abuse in Aisha's life. In the meantime, reach out to us on Twitter at Survival of Abuse and use the hashtag I Reclaim My Voice to let us know if you're tuned in and maybe how you've reclaimed your voice. We'll see you in 3 minutes.
Abuse is an epidemic that thrives on silence. It's time to reclaim our voices. Abuse Survival Stories is an event series which celebrates men and women who have experienced various forms of abuse while providing them with a platform to share their stories and help shatter the silence on which abuse thrives. Featuring raw survival testimonials, powerful spoken word poetry, and creative expression exercises, Abuse Survival Stories is a positive experience which uplifts both the mind and the soul. If you are interested in bringing an Abuse Survival Stories event to your city, please contact us at radio@abusesurvivalstories.com and let's put an end to suffering in silence. You are listening to Abuse Survival Stories presents I Reclaim My Voice. To reach our show today, please call in to 1-888-346-9141. Again, that's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to radio@abusesurvivalstories.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back. We're here with Aisha Murray, childhood sexual abuse survivor and founder of Three Little Birds. Aisha, we were talking with you about the abuse you experienced as a child at the hands of a female. So, to continue, as your life went on, what were the, you spoke a little bit about some of the effects, but what were the after effects of the abuse as time went on?
Where do I start? Do you guys have the time? Okay, well, first, I guess one of the biggest things I remember growing up, not really looking at my body and being ashamed or even repulsed by my body and images of female anatomy. I say really began to look at myself probably in my mid to late 20s. I was afraid of how I'd react, afraid of what I'd see, afraid of remembering, pretty much ashamed of my femininity. I can never say that word. I felt like a reject of nature. I felt like damaged goods. You know, I had a stigma around me or something like that. I sometimes still feel that way, but I know how to check myself now. You know, you get those little voices, oh, she was sexually abused and by a woman. That means she must be attracted to women. Or, oh, my God, I cannot leave her with my child. You know, female-to-female child sexual abuse has created a lot of questions for me. I often wonder, is this why I've decided not to have children right now? Or would I even be a good mother? So those are the things that I think about. And I also had the fear of not being believed. One of my biggest peeves is now when I say something and I'm not believed. That really, really irks me. I've made huge steps to heal my fear of self-expression. I discovered how liberating it is to speak and express myself without worrying if I will be believed or if I'll lose friends and family, or if I anger a certain group of people, because I stayed quiet for way too long. And I always remember the quote, "The butterfly is proof that you can go through tremendous darkness yet become something beautiful." And I think I'm on the path of becoming something beautiful amongst all that pain. I guess I'm finding my voice, in other words. I'm getting over the shame. Being honest with myself, being honest with my family. I remember, you know, having to overcome the shame and telling my dad. I was ashamed to tell my dad of what happened to me because I was afraid he would look at me as damaged goods. So I just really had to get healthy physically and mentally.
Wow. So I remember you said that you told your mom when you got back. Did you find that easier then because she was a woman?
You know what? It was easy for me because I was a talkative child and I didn't hold anything back. So I did tell her right away. She said, she told me, you know, you told me right away. I think what hurt the most is that I wasn't heard and nothing was done. She did her, you know, she did the best she could at the time, and I realize that now. I grew up very angry at my mother. But the most painful thing was telling the people who were supposed to protect you. And I just didn't tell her. I told a few other family members, and nothing was ever done. You know, nothing. Not to put anyone on the spot, but till this day, I'll have, you know, people who know what happened to me, and they know about my organization, but they won't actually ask me about it, ask me how it came about. And that's the part that hurts sometimes the most.
Definitely. You know, I actually was thinking about that today, about, you know, not really getting support that from certain people that you expect to get it from. And I sometimes wonder if that's because they feel guilty.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think so. Like, my mother is my biggest supporter. Just to clear that, we've had our conversation, and she acknowledges what happened to me. But I do think it's shame. I think it's shame and not knowing how to deal with it. I know in the West Indian culture, it can be a very taboo topic. You just deal with it. Oh, I was raped. You know, I was raped. You were raped. That's okay. It's not okay, but we're not going to conversate about it. We don't have the tools to deal with it. So you're just going to sit there and forget about it type of thing.
So, you know? So what would you say was one of the biggest challenges then for you in moving on?
Just knowing that I didn't need anyone's validation. I didn't need anyone to acknowledge what happened to me. Because all in all, guys, what happened to me means nothing. It means nothing. What means something is how I recover. What do I do after this? What are the next steps? Am I gonna sit and wallow in this? Oh my God, this happened to me. What am I gonna do? It, not to minimize what happened, but it means nothing at the end of the day. It's how I pick myself up and move on after this.
Wow. What has helped you in getting through the challenges and moving on, as you said?
Things like this, guys. Things like talking about it. You think I could have done this 2 years ago? I would have been, you know, crying, and not that crying, anything's wrong with crying, but there's no way I could have done this if I hadn't started talking about it. And one of the first places I told my story was at your event, Reese, and I have to thank you for that, because it really helped me move along. It really, really did. And my mom came out and she heard me. It was great. So talking and having people actually hear me and listen.
That's incredible. Actually love to know what happened after the event. Your mother heard your story. Was there a conversation that happened once you left?
Oh my gosh, she was bawling. She was like, I've never seen you in that light. I've never seen you. She basically said in such a vulnerable moment, I was just so strong. And she heard me and she felt my pain, but she thought it was the most beautiful thing ever. And just to have her there and to have her support meant everything to me, because it was like picking up from where I left off as a child, you know, telling the story and having nothing happen. But now I'm telling my story and I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it for myself. I don't need anyone to validate my story, but just to have people there and listening and supporting you, like in a non-judgmental environment, it's just, it really lifted me up. So I do thank you guys for that very, very much.
That is awesome. And I love your message, because I truly, truly believe that in all of this, if we can just let people realize or help them to realize that there is beauty in your ashes.
Absolutely.
No, there really is.
Absolutely. I agree. Absolutely.
Beautiful. So what would you say then was your first step on your healing journey?
I attended a self-help group. I don't know if I can say the name of the group on air. I'll leave it alone for now. But I went and I did not want to speak. I just wanted to go, you know, get a few tips and okay, I'm out and I'm good. I don't know what came over me, but I stood up in front of 150 plus people and told my story. Not coming out of my nose, water running down my face. It was nasty, but I think that was my first step in being honest with myself, because I acknowledged that I had an issue. I had a problem. There was something inside of me that was sucking the life out of me. And if I hadn't gone to that self-help program, I don't know where I'd be today, for sure.
It's incredible. What is something that you've learned being in this strong place that you're in, and looking back, what is something you've learned from what you've experienced? And I know there's been a lot.
There's been a lot, but I think the most important thing is that sexual abuse is usually understood as something bound up with issues of male aggression and power. And this is not always the case. Usually female perpetrators are someone close to you. I've learned someone you trust. I learned that women can also exert the same power and express the same aggression. Viewing sexual abuse as solely as a tool of patriarchy, I think, would prevent some victims from actually getting help, especially children. We stereotype women as nurturing and men as dangerous, and this just isn't the case. So I learned the biggest lesson. Abuse can occur in unexpected places, and we need to recognize violence by women as well, which is really, really important to me.
Definitely.
What was one of the most profound things you've discovered about yourself while going through this journey?
But I was a very angry person. Mm. I learned that I was confrontational. Sometimes I still am, and I have to really check myself. But I learned that I'm strong. Even when I'm weak, I've learned that I can actually be loved after all of this. People like me can actually still be loved. I learned that I didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't my fault. And I think that was the biggest thing in learning about myself.
That's powerful. We're just 1 minute going into break. I just wanted to ask you really quickly, mm-hmm. what sort of things would you say contributed to your healing?
Family, friends, meditation, just spending time with myself. I felt like I always had to have people around me to prevent me from thinking too much, and I was afraid to be alone, got myself involved in really messed up situations. And I've learned as I'm getting older that I need time alone sometimes just to take care of me, because I'm the only one who knows how to do that.
Definitely. And are there any positives that you've taken away from what you've experienced?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously I have three little birds, and I've met you guys, through everything. Like I said, I've learned how strong I am. Haven't gotten up the courage to really have conversations that I think I should be having, but I know that I have the strength within me to do it when I'm ready. So I think a major positive is just knowing that I'm capable of anything.
That's an amazing thing to be aware of. Yeah. We're going to go to a break now, and when we return, we're going to talk to Aisha about her organization, Three Little Birds. We'll see you in 3 minutes.